Haven't they just did an incredible job? Wow. 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 What an incredible time of worship. The presence of God is in this place. And, you know, I'm grateful for all that God has done so far this week. It's been incredible. But I know tonight God's even going to do more. He's already started it in our worship time. And we're just going to continue to go deeper. How many wants to experience more of God? All right. There is an unending supply of the presence of God. And God's no respecter of persons. That means the more that we press into God, the more that we seek God, the more that we find God. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to find more of God tonight. I want to find more of God tonight. And I believe we're going to do that. If you got your Bible, turn real quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 3. We're going to hop right in tonight. Are you okay with that? We're going to hop right in. 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 3. This is an Old Testament story. There is a prophet, Samuel, who is talking to the first king of Israel. His name was Saul. And he had just anointed Saul to be the king. And then he gives him some instructions. And this is where we pick up reading in verse 3. He says, when you get to the oak of Tabor, you are going to see three men coming towards you who are on their way to worship God. They were literally on their way to a church service. Bethel was the name of the place. It was literally called the house of God. They're on their way to worship. And here's what the prophet said. You're going to see three of them. One will be bringing three young goats. Another will have three loaves of bread. And the third will be carrying a wineskin full of wine. Let's pray. Father, tonight, just as we sang a few minutes ago, we want the truth. We want it. It's not just a song that we sing, but we want to know the truth. And you heard every voice lifted in this room. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, we know your word is truth. So Spirit of God, cause the truth to come alive inside of our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we say, pray. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Anybody ever heard the term goat before? Yes. Right? I remember the first time somebody told me, you know, Tom Brady's the GOAT. What do you think? And I was like, he's old and stinky. Okay. I had to Google what GOAT meant, you know, but we're not talking about the greatest of all time tonight. All right. We're going to have the Jordan or LeBron conversation. Okay. But we are going to talk about GOATs. Everybody say GOATs. This is the type of GOATs we're going to talk about. Bring them on out. Here he is. Very much. Everybody say hi, Thumper.
Hi, Thumper.
This is Thumper. You got anything you want to say, Thumper? He's good. So in our story tonight, the prophet said to Saul, he said, you're going to encounter something on the road. Now listen, we should pay attention when we read God's word. And he said, you're going to find three people going to church. He said, one of them's going to be carrying bread, one of them's going to be carrying wine, yep, and one of them's going to be carrying three goats. Now listen, there's a symbol here, all right? Bread in the Bible represents the body of Christ. So what he's saying is this, he's saying, one of them's coming to worship and they're focused on Jesus. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the body that was broken. One of them is coming to church, and they are focused on the wine, which in the Bible was a picture of the blood of Jesus. He said, but one of them is on his way to church, and you know what he's carrying? He's carrying three goats. And you know what? Thumper's pretty cute, right? Okay, but Thumper's a miniature dwarf. Thumper, don't pee on me, okay? I felt warm all of a sudden, all right? Did he already do it? Oh, he already pooped. That's okay, Thumper. See, that's perfect, because you know why? Let me tell you what goats are symbolic of in the Bible, and I'm going to show you in Scripture. Goats are a symbolism in the Bible of sin and shame and condemnation. And Saul finds this guy, and he doesn't have a leash like Thumper. This guy was carrying three of them. I mean, I got my hands worked out just with the miniature dwarf with one of them. Can you imagine three full stinky goats that this guy is carrying to church? See, some of us, we're trying to come to God. We're trying to experience more of God. And you know what we're doing? We're carrying around a bunch of baggage. We're carrying around goats. So tonight we're going to talk about goats. Are you all right with that? Can we talk about goats? All right, Thumper, I'm going to let you go because I feel like you're going to pee on me. All right, give it up for Thumper. Thumper, you did awesome. Thank you, sweetheart. What's your name? I forgot to ask you. Gracie. Give it up for Gracie. She let us borrow her goat. All right, write these down. The first goat that we're going to talk about is in Genesis chapter 27, and it's a story that we talked about on night one. We talked about the imposter Jacob. Everybody remember? Okay, so let me tell you Jacob's story. You can read about Jacob in the book of Genesis chapter 27. Jacob goes to steal the birthright from his older brother Esau. And so what he had to do is he had to deceive his dad. And Esau was a very hairy man, and Jacob didn't have much hair. So Jacob knew as his dad was getting ready to die, was losing his eyesight, if he was going to pretend to be Esau, he had to make himself hairy. So you know what Jacob did? He killed a goat. Everybody say goat. See, the first goat that we have to talk about tonight is the goat of deception. Jacob goes into his dad, and his dad said, your voice sounds like Jacob, but this is Esau. Are you Esau? And he said, yes, I'm Esau. Dad, fill my arms. And he held out his hand full of that goat skin, and he said, I am Esau. Everybody say deception. You see, when we go through our life and we are saying that we're one thing on one day and one thing on the other, what happens is our life is controlled by deception. When we're saying that we are one thing on one day, but we're something on a different day, we are being deceived, just like Jacob was being deceived and being deceptive. You see, because the Bible says that we actually can't serve two masters. So it means you can't have it one way and the other. You can't, there is no such thing as straddling the fence and saying, you know, I'm going to have a little bit of God and a little bit of the world. That's actually all garbage, because what happens is you are the one who is deceived. And so when you fall for the goat of deception, you're just like that guy. He's trying to come to God, and you know what he looks like? He's carrying goats. And he's a hot mess trying to come to the house of God. Listen, it is a mess when you try to live a life of deception. It's a mess when you try to tell your parents you're doing one thing, but you're really doing something else. And you might think that your parents, you know, you've got them fooled. Or you might think that, you know, you've got your youth pastor fooled. You know, that you're saying, I am doing this, but I'm really doing this. But really, at the end, you are the one who's carrying around the goats of deception. And nobody wins in the goats of deception. The goat of deception stinks, man. It carries a foul odor with it when we struggle with the goat of deception. You're trying to focus on Jesus. You're trying to press in. But all you hear in the background, bah, is the goat of deception. You with me? The second goat that we see in the Bible in Genesis chapter 37, we read a story of a man named Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. And Joseph, the Bible says, had 11 brothers, and he was the youngest, and he was his dad's favorite. You know, do we have anybody in the house that's the youngest child? What is it up with about the youngest children? You always get the best, right? The youngest child always gets the best. I don't understand. And so Joseph was his dad's favorite. And his dad even made him a special coat, a coat that had all these colors. They called it the coat of many colors. And one day, Joseph's dad says, I want you to go out and visit your brothers. They were shepherds, and they were out attending the sheep. And so Joseph goes out to visit his brothers. And his brothers look at him coming from afar off, and something starts to happen inside of their heart. They're like, you know what? I've had it with that little pipsqueak. He's always dad's favorite. I don't know who he thinks he is. He's no more special than anybody else. And what happens is jealousy starts rising up in their heart. And then envy starts rising up in their heart. Turns into hatred, even bitterness. And what the Bible says is they said, you know what? When he gets here, we're going to kill him. We're actually going to kill him. And when they got there, they threw him in a pit and they were getting ready to kill him. And then they said, you know what? Why should we kill him when we could make some extra Snack Shack money off of him, right? So they decided that they would sell him. You know, why kill him when we can make a buck off of him? So they sold Joseph into slavery. But then they had to go home to their dad and they made up a story. So you know what they did? They took that coat of many colors and you know what they killed? They killed a goat. Everybody say the coat of bitterness. They killed a goat. And they took his coat and they dipped it in blood. And they went back to his dad and said, Dad, we found this. Did you send Joseph to look for us? Because we didn't see him, but we found this. You see, in our world today, it becomes very easy for us to become jealous and envious of others. I talked last night about just the toxicity of social media, right? Where all of a sudden everything's great until we get on here and our life just feels like it's miserable, right? Like, why couldn't I have those friends? Or why couldn't I look like this or look like this? And it becomes very easy for the goat of bitterness to come into our life where we're jealous. We wish we had this. We wish we had that. Why can't my life be like that? Why can't I have a family like that? Why can't I have a boyfriend like that, a girlfriend like that? And we become jealous. Listen, here is the sad part, is that all of those brothers were going to get the same inheritance from their dad. They were literal brothers, but so much jealousy sneaked into their heart. You see, this goat is a sneaky goat, but it'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your happiness. It'll rob you of your peace. It won't be long, and you'll be sitting there, and you will feel like your life is miserable. Can we talk for a moment about the culture in which we live in? Because this goat's running wild in our culture today. Anybody ever heard the word influence before? We all have. You know what's right in the middle of influence? Flu. What is a flu? It's contagious, right? You know, we're all experts now on diseases, right? Washing our hands and all this stuff. In our world today, we have what we call social influencers, right? People that have large followings. But what I found is that they are spewing out a bunch of garbage. A bunch of garbage. And a lot of them have tag teamed up with the goat of bitterness. And here's what their goal is. Just like this goat came into this family, just like this goat came into this family and started turning the brothers against each other, the goat of bitterness is running around in our culture today through a lot of influencers. And you know what it's doing? It's turning us against each other. It's making us not only just jealous of each other, but envious of each other. It's causing us to start hating people we've never even seen before. Like, I don't even know who you are, but I hate you. I've never even met you. I know nothing about you, but I hate you. I hate you because of where you're from. I hate you because of a color of your skin or a dialect that you speak. I don't even know anything about you, but I hate you. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the goat of bitterness, the spirit behind it that from the very beginning was set out to destroy lives. And in our culture today, it is taking like, it's coming out in the spotlight. Listen, do we have issues in our world today, social issues? Absolutely. If you are a Christian in the body of Christ, should we do things about things that are unjust? 100% yes. We should speak up and use our voice. Is racism wrong? Absolutely. But racism is not a social problem. It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. When you prejudge somebody, it's not a bad idea. It's sin. It's wrong. It's disheartening to God. In fact, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this. If someone says, I love God and I hate my brother, guess what that makes me? It makes me a liar. So I can't lift my hands and worship God and say, oh, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and I want to know the truth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I hate people. That makes me a liar. That makes me a liar. Because you can't love God and hate other people. But see, this goat is coming into our culture, and you know what it's doing? It's turning us against people. These were brothers. They grew up together. They loved each other. They had everything in common, but this envy and jealousy come in and turned into hatred and bitterness, and it's happening in our culture today. You say, you can't be a Christian and be racist or prejudiced. You see, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a heaven for white people. There's not going to be a heaven for African American people. There's not going to be a heaven for Americans and then a heaven for people from Europe and Africa. Listen, it's all going to be heaven. In fact, the Bible says it's going to be every tribe, every race, and every tongue. But instead of celebrating our diversity, and instead of celebrating what's happening, is culture is spewing out all this garbage. And can I tell you something? The Spirit of Christ is not behind it. Because what it is doing, it's causing us to turn on each other instead of loving one another. And we're doing it all in the thought process of, well, this is enlightenment. This is the way that we think, and this is the way that we change. No, the goat of bitterness destroys your heart, and it destroys your life. The goat of bitterness doesn't solve the problem. It's not a new problem. It's happened thousands and thousands of years. Anytime that we turn our hearts with envy and bitterness and jealousy, we turn our hearts away from Jesus. You see, when we come to Christ, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. That means old things have passed away. Everything is made new. So here's what we have to understand is that Christ changes everything. Can you say that with me? Say, Christ changes everything. All right, so I'm white, as you can tell. All right, I was born in the South, okay? So in the South, we drink sweet tea, okay? We eat all kinds of Southern food. So in essence, what I could say is I was born looking through a certain filter. Are you following me? This was the lens that I was brought up in. But see, when I come to Christ, the Bible says that everything is made new. So that means I don't look at life through my Southern white glasses anymore. I look through life now that I am a new creation. So that means I don't look at people and I don't have predetermined ideas about them. I don't look at my friends that are black that I don't even know and say, oh, because you're black, you must be a thug. Oh, because you're from the city, this must be how you are. I don't look at my white friends and say, oh, because you're from the South, you're a redneck. We know what you are. You're a white supremacist. We know what, see, because that's the old life. Are you hearing me? That's the goat of bitterness. That's the goat of bitterness. But see, what our culture is doing is watch, just like that stinking, smelly, rotten goat came into this family, and said, look at that stinking little spoiled rotten brat. I hate that guy. When he gets over here, we're killing him. No, no, you forget that. We're going to sell him. We're going to make some money off of him. Just like that goat. That goat's coming into our culture today. And so what we're doing is people are telling us to look at people from the outside and we judge them. We say, you know what? You came from this side of town, so we know that you are this way. You are privileged. You are not. You are this. It's all based in the stinking, rotten goat of bitterness. And listen, it destroys. Some of you tonight, I tell you with all sincerity, this goat is eating away at your heart. You know what goats do? They chew on stuff. I'm not kidding. A goat will eat anything. You put a can of whatever in front of it, a goat will eat a can. Like it's no issue. Some of you, this goat is eating away at your heart. And you got bitterness and hatred on the inside of you. Some of you towards people that you've not even met before. Listen, when you come to Christ, you got to let him make everything new. And you got to say, God, change me. Change me. Some of you have been, taught things that are not correct. Some of you have been taught things in your upbringing that don't honor God. When you come to God, you lay it all at the foot of the cross. And you say, I'm not carrying around this garbage anymore. Are you hearing me tonight? Say amen. Amen. Let's talk about one more goat tonight. In Genesis chapter 38. We read a story of a man named Judah. Everybody say Judah. And here's what the Bible says about Judah. The Bible says about Judah that Judah went to a certain town and Judah made a very poor decision. And this was his decision. Is that Judah decided he was going to sleep with a prostitute. That's what the Bible says. And so that night he went in and he slept with the prostitute and he asked the prostitute, what is your price? What's your price, you know, for this night? And you know what the lady replied? Guess what the price would be? Anybody want to guess? A goat. That's what the price was. Let's talk about the goat of sexual immorality. So the lady says to Judah, my price is a goat. Judah says, you know, check my pockets, I don't have one with me. So she said, well, why don't you give me your signet, your ring, and your staff? Basically, today it would be equivalent of, hey, give me your driver's license, give me your passport, give me your cell phone, we'll go shack up for the night, and then tomorrow you bring me your goat, you get all your stuff back. So the next morning, Judah goes to the market to get the goat, comes back, and guess what? She gone. She done cut out. She took his stuff and ran. And you know what Judah went home with? Judah went home with a goat. Can we talk for a few minutes about the goat of sexual immorality that's running rampant in our culture today? And not just the sexual immorality, but the goat of shame and regret and pain and bad memories that goes with you. That you think, oh, it's just one night of pleasure or one moment of pleasure. But no, there's a goat that comes along with that. That you start carrying with you and it's following you around. And this is what happened to Judah. It's what happens in our generation. You see, there is this there's this big lie today in our culture, and it started small, and now it's common talk. But it's basically this: that you know what, having sex is really just not a big deal. It's just casual, and we're gonna talk about it because you know what, junior high camp was last week, so tonight we can have this conversation. And in our culture today, we start labeling sex as it's just, well, you know, we're just hooking up. We're just trying things out. How do I know until I try? But listen, let me tell you something from the Word of God, and that is this, is that sex is a very sacred thing. And purity, sexual purity, it's important. There is important. In fact, here's what the Word of God says. Let's just read it from the Word. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed should be kept pure. And what does it say? Listen to this. You got to pay attention to this. This isn't my words. This isn't my opinion. This is God. It says, God will judge what? The adulterer and all the sexually immoral. God doesn't look down at sex and just say, oh yeah, it's just casual. The Bible even teaches that when we are sexually immoral, we're destroying our souls. Read through the book of Proverbs and read about all the warnings that the Bible gives us about a life of sexual immorality. And the pain, the shame that comes along with it. Listen, it is a big deal. You know, there's another lie that says, you know what, God is just this big eternal buzzkill. He doesn't want us to have fun. He just doesn't want us to have fun. He doesn't want us to experience all the good things in life that we hear about. But listen, here, you know what the truth is? God created sex. He's a creator of her. In fact, there's a book in the Bible called the Song of Solomon. Read it. It will straight up make you blush. Like, I'm not even lying. It'll make you blush. It's all about sex. God is the one who created it. God is the one who made it. And God is the one who created it in his perfect plan. But when you don't follow his plan, guess what you get? You get a goat. You get a goat. And some of you tonight, you're settling for goats. You're settling for goats. And let's just get real. Not even some of you here in the room, well, I haven't had sex. But your phone is full of sexual immorality. Let me pull up your iTunes playlist and play a little bit of it for you. When it's F this and hump this and lick that, it's sexual immorality. And it's garbage. And you're trying to come into the house of God. And you're like, I just don't know why I can't feel God. I don't know why. God doesn't love me anymore. No, you're carrying goats. You're carrying goats. You're carrying garbage around. And it doesn't honor God. You know who it's robbing? It's robbing you from the goodness that God wants you to experience. We can go out here tonight, play basketball on the basketball court, and you'll have an incredible time. And it's fun because you play basketball on a basketball court. You go play basketball on Interstate 44, somebody's going to die. Because we don't play outside the boundaries of the way it was created. God is the one who created sex. God is the one who created love and all the feelings, the wonderful feelings that go along with it. You ever stop and think about it? You know, you young people will crack me up. They'll come. I remember back when I used to be a youth pastor. They'll say, oh, you know, my boyfriend and I were making out the other night, and it just felt like we should be doing something more. And I'm like, duh. That's why the Bible says don't awaken love until it's the proper time. God has this incredible plan laid out for us. And you know what? Satan is robbing our generation. He's robbing us. And I'm so glad that the goat pooped, because it's a perfect description of what we are settling for. And I'm so happy that all night tonight, I've just been walking all over this crap, okay? Because I'm sending Satan a message tonight, all right? That your generation, we're going to stop settling for all that mess, okay? We're going to stop bringing all these goats home with us. Don't allow the goat of sexual immorality to mess with your life. Don't allow it to steal from you. worship team can come. You know, there was one more man in the Bible who had a relationship. His name was Samson, and he became attracted to a Philistine woman. And Samson was an Israelite. Philistines were enemies of God's people. They didn't believe in God. They didn't love God. Samson knew that he should not be dating or pursuing somebody who didn't love God. But yet, he insisted on doing that. You know what Samson got for a wedding gift? He got a goat. Some of you in the room, your heart's like, I do want to love God. I want to serve God. But he is awful cute. Listen, if he doesn't love God and God's not number one in his life, you're going to get a goat. Listen to me, young lady. Why even put yourself in a vulnerable position to end up with a goat? Because you're going to get a goat. Why? I want to tell them about Jesus and the love of Jesus. Listen, he don't want the love of Jesus. He wants the love of your blonde hair and your blue eyes. And you're going to end up with a goat. And then you're going to end up carrying the goat of shame and the goat of regret. And it's going to go along with you. Listen, young men in the room that are hooked on pornography. And you think, well, it's just innocent. Because I'm not doing it. I'm just watching it and enjoying it. Don't work that way. That goat will follow you around the rest of your life. Oh, you know, well, when I get married and we can do it and it's all good in God's eyes, I won't have to look at porn anymore. Don't work that way. Doesn't work that way. That goat goes along with you with all of its stench and its smell, and it doesn't want to leave. It doesn't want to leave. Tonight, we sang it earlier, right? You shouted it. You sounded it. You sounded so good. We want the truth. This is not my opinion, but this is the truth. And I know it sounds old-fashioned, and I know it's not what you're hearing, but it's the truth. And it's the truth that's not used as a weapon to beat you up. It's the truth that's not used to make you feel bad or condemn, but it's the truth that is designed to make you experience the love of God and set you free. See, as we close, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit comes down and he convicts our heart. And he says, what you're doing and what you are engaging in is wrong, and it's hurtful, and it's detrimental to your life, and you start feeling bad about it because it's the conviction of God that's drawing you close to God. That's conviction. Condemnation is when you just hang your head in shame and you're just like that guy who's coming up and he's saying, I want to come to God. I want to come and worship, but I'm carrying around these goats. So what do we do with it? Here's the beautiful picture. What were the other two people carrying? The bread and the blood. How do we get rid of our goats? We say, you know what? I'm tired of carrying around these goats. I'm tired of the shame. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the things. I'm tired of my heart being filled with hatred. And we come and we say the answer is in the body, the bread, the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for me. It was broken for you. The answer, the other guy, was the blood. The answer is in the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our shame. It washes away all of our regrets. Listen to me, young ladies in the room that are full of regrets from what's happened to you. The blood of Jesus can wash it away and make it brand new. Make it absolutely brand new. Would you stand with me tonight and bow your heads? I want you to just take a moment and bow your heart before God. And I want you to say this to God. I want you to say, God, what are you speaking to me tonight? Say, God, show me the goats that I'm carrying around. Say, God, show me the goats that I'm carrying around. Some of you in the room tonight, the very first goat we talked about, the goat of deception. You still have things that you're hiding. Even this week, some of you have come up to the altar, but you're still not getting just the full breakthrough that you need because there's some things that you're still hiding. Still holding on to that goat of deception that I can hide this. I don't want to address this. I want to cover it up. But you can't cover it up. The only way to get rid of it is to lay it at the foot of the cross and bring it under the blood of Jesus. That's the only way you can get free. Somebody's dealing with so much condemnation tonight. From something that you've done that nobody knows. Your mom doesn't know, your dad doesn't know, your youth pastor doesn't know, and you've been hiding it. And the weight of that is tormenting you. Tonight, God says, bring it under the blood of Jesus and let me wash it away. No more secrets. Some of you in the room tonight, the goat of bitterness. Yeah, but you don't know, Pastor Randy, what somebody did to me. You don't know what they did to me or my family or the pain that was inflicted. You don't even know. You don't understand. You're right, I don't. But what I do know is that goat of bitterness will destroy you. It will eat away. And God wants to deal with it tonight. And the goat of sexual immorality, here's what God's going to do tonight. Because there's many of us that are struggling with this goat. And it brings more shame. That goat brings more shame than anything else. It leads us down a slippery, dark slope. But tonight, if you really want to be free from sexual immorality, if you want to be free from impure thoughts, if you want to be free from pornography and the chains that come along with that, all the shame that comes along with that. If you want to be free tonight, God will set you free, but you got to bring it to the cross of Jesus. All right, I believe God spoke to you. If you asked him for God to show you, I believe he did. I want you to come tonight, and I want you to bring it to Jesus. Come, let's bring our goats, and let's meet with Jesus at this altar. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want anybody, for the first few minutes, I don't want anybody praying for anybody. Let it just be you and Jesus right now. No putting your hand on anybody else's back. No counselors are coming to pray with you right now. Just you and Jesus. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to fix your mind on Jesus. I want you to try to get this image in your head. Try to see Jesus on the cross. Maybe you've seen pictures of Jesus on the cross, or maybe you've watched a movie. I want you to try to get that image in your head. God, we can never imagine the price that you paid. God, I can never imagine the suffering that you went through so that I don't have to carry shame. So that I don't have to be embarrassed for the wrong things that I've done. Come on, fix your mind on that. Fix your mind on Jesus and his body that was broken, his blood that was shed. See, that's how we come to worship. And now what I want you to do is I want you to just say, thank you, Jesus. And here are the goats that I've been carrying. It's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your mouth. I can help you and coach you, but you have to confess it. So God, I give you my deception. I've been trying to live two lives. Somebody needs to give God, say, God, I give you my bitterness. I give you my bitterness, my envy, my jealousy. Some of you were raised as white kids. Some of you were told that different races represented different things. And that's what you were taught. Confess it to God right now and say, God, I don't want to see the world that way. I want to see the world through you, Jesus. I don't want to hate white people. I don't want to hate black people. I don't want to hate cops. I don't want to hate Republicans. I don't want to hate Democrats. I want to see people through the blood of Jesus and the cross of Calvary. Keep your eyes right there on Jesus. Give him that goat of sexual immorality. Confess to him. He already knows, but you need to confess it. If you've been looking at porn, confess it. If you've been sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, if you've been sexting, if you've been sending pictures your mom and dad don't know about it, you've been sending those snaps, you've been doing stuff that you know is not honoring God, you're dealing with shame, embarrassment, I wish I had not done that. Give it to God right now and say, Jesus, I see you on the cross. Let your blood wash over me right now in Jesus' name. Some of you need to put your hands over your head and you need to say, Lord, would you just wash my mind tonight? Just say, God, I've watched so much filth. I've listened to so much garbage. Some of the young men in the room, you can't even look at a young lady without having impure thoughts. Get rid of that goat tonight in Jesus' name. I can't give you a new mind, but Jesus can if you just ask him. Say, Lord, let your blood wash over me. Pray like David prayed. Say, God, I need a clean heart. I need a new heart. If you ask him, listen, if you ask him, he will give it to you. But you got to ask him, say, God, give me a new heart. I mean it. I don't want to carry this junk around anymore. Oh, your word says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Your word says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Start getting that in your mind. I even want you to say those words. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And just let the love of God begin to wash over you. Let the love of God wash over you. You know, some of you, when you were young, when you would do something wrong, your parents would say, shame on you. You knew better. Shame on you. Here's what God says to us tonight. Shame off of you. Shame off of you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So just receive his love. Receive his freedom. Receive his forgiveness. It's free. It's unmerited. We don't earn it. We can't deserve it, but it's free tonight. Just receive it. Let it wash over you. Come on, some of you even need to go deeper into that. You need to go deeper into that. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Randy? You just need to let the love of God continue to fill you and fill you. Some of you, even right now, what's happening is the Spirit of God is coming into this room and he's going to begin to baptize you, meaning he's filling you with so much more of God that it's just overcoming. You don't even know how to feel because you've never felt that before. Just let God continue to fill you. Let the love of God begin to wash over you. Just say, God, I want more of you. More of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus.